quite a few years. Well, not, it wasn't that long ago. I always thought it was really dumb to celebrate a building. Anybody else? Good. Got one taker. And I have a different take on it now. So I'd like to share that with you. So mainly I'm just going to focus on the first reading. Often enough I like to focus on the gospel, but I want to look at the first reading, the story of from chapter 47 in Ezekiel. It's 47 of 48 chapters. And it's part of the culmination of all the visions of Ezekiel during the exile. Now, to talk about chapter 47, I have to talk about the 46 before that. So this would be like a little bit of a class. You don't have to take notes, though. There won't be an exam, except on the last day, but we'll have anxiety dreams about that now, right? Okay. Here's just some ways of looking at the prophet Ezekiel is one of the major prophets, and his book is collected along with Isaiah and Jeremiah. It tells of the visions the prophet had after the exile, after the Babylonian army had destroyed Jerusalem and killed off a bunch of people, but then took a whole bunch to Babylon and dropped them off there. So they were living as refugees there. And during that time, Ezekiel relates these visions. The first, they're basically, I'm going to cut it into four parts. The first part has to do with the how and the why that the glory of God left Jerusalem. First 10 chapters. Secondly, there are many, many sayings or oracles against the nation, which is the southern kingdom, Judah, and against all the nations that did them wrong. In the middle of that, and this is kind of why I make it number three, it's a key turning moment where God basically says, from now on, I'm not going to deal with the nation as a whole, but with individuals, and hold each individual responsible for the good he or she does as well as their wrongdoings. That was a turn in that relationship. Beginning somewhere in the late 30s, chapters 30 and so on to the end of the book, talks about it, they're the visions of restoration. And so even while the people are in exile, God basically gives Ezekiel a vision of what the renewed temple, city, and the whole land will look like. It's an architect's nightmare or dream, depending on it. It's so detailed about the temple, and then it goes into a little less about the city, a little less about the land. But the key thing is this, and we'll see this in a second. How will this vision of a renewed city, temple, and land come about? Because that's a symbol, an architectural symbol of the renewed relationship between God and the people. So again, going back to the beginning of the book, God indicts, through the prophet's visions, indicts Israel for two wrongs. Their worship is worthless and meaningless because there's oppression in the land and there's no taking care of the poor and the widows. And because there's oppression in the land, the worship in the temple doesn't mean a dang thing. So it's a mirror image. If one's bad, the other's bad. If one's good, the other's good. So because both are messed up, the visions given to Ezekiel after the city had been destroyed, not yet the temple, the visions he gets in Babylon say, here's how and why and what happens, and here's the vision of the glory of God leaving the temple, and then the temple's destroyed. What had God promised? I will be with you always. There shall be David and his descendants shall rule. The temple's a sign of being among the people. It's all gone. And so the rebuilding, as it were, of the people, let me say the rehabilitation of the people begins in chapter 11 with this, because after the glory of God flees the temple, he says through the prophet, I will gather you, the nation, from among the peoples. I will assemble you out of the lands where you have been scattered. I will give you one heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Then you shall be my people, and I will be your God. So the first thing that has to be rehabbed is not the city, not the temple, not the land. Right here. What's the takeaway? Let me put it to you this way. If the church is going to survive in any form, if Christianity is going to survive in any form, this is what Father Karl Rahner, a Jesuit theologian who died in the mid-70s, said, the Christian of the future will be a mystic, or there will be no Christianity. In other words, this is my interpretation, okay? Take it or leave it. My interpretation is this. And it's in terms of this. I will gather you from the peoples. I will assemble you out of the lands where you have been scattered. We get the chance every day to hear the call of God to call us back from our distractions, from our illusions, to be present to God and ourselves. So God does the calling, and as the big book in AA says, without God we can't. Without us, God won't. So God calls to us. Can we respond to make ourselves available to being re-centered? What's given in the latter chapters of Ezekiel is a vision of here's the land. Oh, and within the land, in the middle of it is a city. And within the middle of the city is the temple. And in the middle of the temple is the Holy of Holies. There's a center. Have you found your center yet? I will give you a new heart and place my spirit within you. What's our part? Seeking, surrendering, learning to bring our whole selves, good and bad, before God. Say, here I am. You've called me. In making ourselves even a little bit available, the work of God is about recentering our lives in worship and reordering our lives in right relation with everybody else. That's a vision of the church. That's a vision of a parish, possibly. What might it look like for an invigorated, I would say, invigorated celebration in which we all decide to engage in bringing ourselves and in making ourselves vulnerable to the Word? What the last picture is from today's reading is the water flows out of the temple, and what it does is it changes everything. It becomes a source of healing and refreshment for both creation and humanity. That's the picture of the church that's offered today. So it's not about a dang building. It's about us individually and corporately finding this restructuring as we are. So if any of this makes any sense to you and you feel any desire to seek after that, at this point what I'm going to do is just say, invite you to think about this, because it's what I'm thinking about too. What's my next right step to respond? What's the next right thing to do? God bless.